Beruchim HaNimsaim. Ladies, we are studying Parashat Ki Tetze. There is a pasuk in Parasha. I want to tell you the way we understand it simply first. The pasuk says, V'chi yeh be'ish het mishpat mavet ve'humat betalita oto al etz. It's an easy pasuk. If there's a fellow, he's guilty of death penalty. What did he do? He did something that's punishable by a death penalty. Me'alel Shabbat. It's punishable by stoning. Or any other sin that's punishable by death. Ve'humat. So the Beit Din killed him. Betalita oto al etz. The Torah says you have to take the fellow that you stoned to death, for example, and after they stone him, they hang him. They hang him on a tree. The Torah says until nightfall. You would have thought that maybe right once you give him the execution, bury him right away. The Torah says no. V'talita oto al etz. Hang him on the tree. Why? So the people could see it. So they get scared. Somebody walks by the tree, and they see a corpse hanging. What is this? What happened over here? Oh, this guy here, he's Me'alel Shabbat. This is what happens if a person is Me'alel Shabbat and he doesn't care about the punishment. And then the Torah says, before sunset, you must take him down from the tree and bury him. Fine. And from here we learn the laws that one should not delay a burial more than the time. One should, right away, once the time comes, you should bury the corpse and finish. That's a simple interpretation of the pasuk. So I read again, V'chi yeh be'ish et mishpat mavet. There's a ish, there's a man that has a sin with death penalty. Ve'humat, and he died. Ve'talita oto al etz. Hang him on the tree. I have questions on this pasuk. I don't want to ask too many questions to confuse you. But this pasuk is very difficult. As an example, whenever you see the word ish, ish means somebody that's hashuv. Ish represents somebody that's significant, an important man. If I was writing the pasuk, I would not call this guy ish. He committed a sin that's punishable by death. He was Me'alel Shabbat. V'chi yeh be'ish het mishpat mavet. It should use another word, Adam, which represents flesh and blood, Dam. But Ish, this man in this pasuk is far from an Ish. That's my first question. If you have patience, I'll ask you one more question. What kind of sin did he commit? It says, V'chi yeh be'ish het. I don't know if you ladies are aware, there's two types of sins. One is called het, one is called avon. What's the difference between het and avon? Avon, he does the sin on purpose. Avon is malicious. Het is by mistake. It happens sometimes, a person has a good sleep on Friday night, and when they wake up in the morning, they forget which day it is. They're so delirious, they don't know if it's Shabbat, if it's Sunday, or it's Tuesday. And as they're getting up out of bed, they turn on the light, instinctively. All of a sudden, Shabbat. Now that's not a avon. There was no malicious intent. This was not done negligently. Hey, it was a mistake. Can I ask you a question? Is there a death penalty for a mistake? Of course not. And what does the pasuk say? V'chi yeh v'ish het mishpat mavet. He did a sin, a het mishpat mavet. The pasuk is very hard to understand. There was once a great rabbi lived in Sfat, about 500 years ago. They called him Ramak, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. Maybe some of you ladies read the book that he wrote, Tomer Devorah. He wrote other Sefarim as well. When he passed away, it was a big funeral, and in attendance was Rabbeinu Ha'ari. And the Arizal spoke at the funeral of the Ramak. And the pasuk that he used to eulogize was this pasuk. And in his eulogy he answered all the questions. And he explained this pasuk in a new light, in a new understanding. The Gemara says that there are only four Jews in history that ever came into this world, and the thing that they have in common, these four Jews, they never sinned. Every other Jew, including Avraham Avinu, including Moshe Rabbeinu, they made a sin of some sort. But four Jews came into this world, that means I don't know how many millions of Jews from Adam HaRishon until today. The Gemara says a very short list. Four Jews came into this world and they did not commit one sin, not even one. The Gemara lists them. It's not important who they are, although I'm sure you're very curious. One of them was David HaMelech's father, Yishai. Yishai never made any sins. Not one Lashon Hara. Not one small error. Nothing. They say the tribe Binyamin. One of the 12 tribes, Binyamin also. There's other two. There's Amram, Kadeb. There's four of them. So the Gemara asks, if they never committed a sin, why did they die? They should have lived forever. The assumption is that a person dies because he makes sins. And nobody's perfect, so eventually the sins get to him. The sin is like a virus. Eventually the sin is going to take over his body and eventually a person dies. But these people never sinned. So the Gemara wants to know, if they never sinned, but Yishai died, how could it be? So you know what the Gemara answers? Be'ot Yoshel Nahash. What's Be'ot Yoshel Nahash? You remember when Adam and Ishon and Havva, his wife, ate from the tree? They shouldn't have eaten from the tree. It was a sin. What did God do? He cursed Adam, he cursed Havva, he cursed the snake, he cursed the ground. A lot of stuff that goes on today in this world is as a result of those curses that God gave Adam and Ishon and Havva after he ate from the tree. You ladies know better than me. If you ever gave birth, it's not the most pleasant experience. The pain of birth is a result of the curse that God gave Havva. If you ever saw a man come home from work and he's beat, that's the curse that God gave Adam and Ishon. By the sweat of the you'll work by the sweat of your brow. These are curses. One of the curses that God gave Adam and Ishon is, for now on, everybody has to die. That's it. There's a death penalty. Even if he doesn't make any sins, there's a death penalty. Most people die because they have sins. But these four people, you know why they died? Because of that original decree that God gave Adam and Ishon. That's what the Gemara says. Now I need to tell you something else. I'm going to teach you the Hebrew language today. If I were to ask you, what does the word chet mean? You would say, Rabbi, you just told it to us. An unintentional sin. You say, you're correct. Does anybody know another meaning for the word chet? Oh, that's a chedush. There's a pasuk in the Navi. Bathsheba was David's wife. They had a son, Shlomo. One of David's kids, Amnon, was trying to take over the kingship. So Bathsheba was worried that if Amnon becomes the king, what's going to happen to her son, Shlomo? She wants her son, Shlomo, to become the king. So she goes to her husband, David, and she says, David, if you're not going to do something and not put Shlomo in, v'nimsa, she says, it'll come out, Ani ubeni Shlomo hata'im. Me and my son Shlomo will be hata'im. What is hata'im? Hata'im means we will be empty. We will be missing. We won't have anything. If you don't give Shlomo the position, then we end up with nothing. Hata'im also means without anything. Lacking. Deficient. Now you learned a new word. I guess, I'm saying now, Hadush. I guess both words have similar relationship. Because when a person makes a sin is a deficiency. When a person makes a sin, there's something lacking in him. So therefore, the two interpretations are first cousins. But chet can also mean to lack, to be missing. Said the Arizal. He said, Rabotai, we're here today at the funeral of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. This man was a perfect tzaddik. He had no sins. If he would be in the times of the Gemara, they would have put him on the list. And now our question is, if he didn't commit any sins, how did he die? How did Hashem take him away, the big tzaddik, without any sins? How is it possible that we're here today at the funeral of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, a man that left this world sinless? So he says, if you have this question, the Torah answers it. And he read the Pasuk. V'chi yehye be'ish. We're talking about an ish. Ish hashuv. We're talking about somebody that's very, very important man. And you know about, what about this ish? Het mishpat mavet. He doesn't have a death penalty. Het mishpat mavet. He's lacking a death penalty. He didn't do anything wrong in his life. He never committed a sin. Mishpat mavet is het. The death penalty should not be on him. And what happened to him? Vehumat. But he dies. So what are you going to answer? Why should he die? You know what the answer is? Vitalita oto al etz. You must say it's because of the tree. What tree? Etz hadaat of Adam HaRishon. Must be he died because otyo shel nahash. He must have died because God made a decree. He said, this is what happened to Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. He's an ish. Het mishpat mavet. He doesn't deserve to die, but he died. Ve'umat. Must be rabotai ve'talita oto al ha'etz. He died because of the primordial sin and the curse that God gave to Adam Rishon. This is a novel interpretation and answers all the questions that we ask. However, in your honor today, I came to say a hadush to explain this pasuk. But in order to understand this pasuk, we must go to the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha, there's two subjects before this pasuk. You need to know the two subjects. Both very, very complicated subjects. As a matter of fact, these subjects are so intricate and complicated, although I'm going to make it simple for you today. There's whole gemariot on this. There's whole sections of the Gemara that are dedicated just to explain these two subjects. We begin. Pasuk number one of the parasha. Ki tetze la milhama al oyebecha. That's today. Ki tetze the parasha. The Jews, the soldiers, will go out to war. Rashi says, by the way, what type of war is this? Voluntary war. It's not a certain wars there's a mitzvah to go out. Certain wars are voluntary. Okay, it's a voluntary war. No problem. What's going to happen? They're going to win the war. Good news. They win the war. And they take captives. Okay, then what happens? One of the soldiers sees Eshet Yefat To'ar. What is Yefat To'ar? Pretty. Pretty woman. Pretty lady. It's one of the captives. But she's a Goya. It's not a civil war. They're not fighting Jews. They're fighting Goyim. So in the captives, there's one beautiful lady there. Okay, beautiful lady. Good luck. What do you want to do with her? V'ashaktaba. Oh, he has a craving for her. So what does he do? The Torah says, V'lakachta lecha isha. He could take her. You could bring her home. And the Torah tells us what to do. And that's it. Wow, you could ask yourself 1,001 questions over here. What do you mean you could take her? She goes, yeah. And the Gemara says, listen, the Torah says if we're not going to make it permissible for him, he's going to do it anyway, and he's going to make the avon, so we might as well make it permissible for him so he doesn't make the sin. So it's legal. I like this. Now make a new law. If somebody goes next to McDonald's, he's very hungry. So I say, you know what? Listen, go eat the hamburger. Because if we don't tell you, you can eat it, he's going to eat it anyway. So mutar. We don't say that. Over here, for some reason, the Torah understood he's in the battlefield, he's a soldier, he's away from his wife for a long time. Whatever the interpretation is, go ask your rabbi to interpret this. But the Torah says he could take this lady with certain conditions. Okay, that's the first story. You see how complicated it is? He went to the war, he sees a Goya, he takes her. According to some people, he could take her even before he officially marries her. He could take even before he converts her. What, he has a bed deal in the field? What, there's a McVeigh in the middle of the field? So you think you cannot convert her in the middle of the battlefield? That means he went with her even before he converted. Okay, but the Torah says legal. Legal. Okay, that's our Torah. Baruch Hashem. No complaints. Okay, ready for the next story? Next story says, Ki yene'ish ben sorer umore. Oh. There's a fellow, he has a son. What kind of son is this? A rebel. Ben sorer umore. Rebellious child. Enenu shomeya bekol abibu bekol imo. He's belligerent. He doesn't listen. He doesn't listen not to his father, not to his mother. His mother gives him instructions, the father gives instructions, he's disobedient. V'yisiru oto. So what do? They chastise him. They give him musar. Hey, what are you doing? V'lo yishma. He doesn't listen. He doesn't listen and he won't listen. V'lo yishma. So he's not going to listen. He says, that Ma, you can speak to your blue in the face. I'm not going to listen to you. So he's a fresh kid. He's wayward. V'tafsu bo abib imo. They grab him. They grab the kid by the shirt. They take him to Beit Din. You believe it? The parents are turning in their own child. Not to the police station. To the Beit Din, to the rabbis. They bring the kid to the rabbis, they drag him. They tell the rabbis of the town, rabbis, this kid over here, you see, is maybe 12 years old. He's a rebel. He's disobedient. Enenu shomeya bekodenu, he doesn't listen to us. Then they say two words, Zolel vesoveh. Zolel, which means he's a guzzler. Vesoveh, he's a glutton. What does it mean? Good question. What does it mean? I'll explain to you. I'm explaining to you Hebrew and English. I'm explaining to you. What does it mean? He's a glutton. He's a guzzler. Exactly. This kid, the Torah tells us in the Gemara, doesn't say it over here. Part of his behavior is he likes red meat and he likes wine, expensive wine, Italian wine. The Gemara said this is before French wine, that Yain Italki. This is what he likes. So that's part of the crime that this kid committed over here. All day long he's looking for the best meats. Where can he find the best steak, the best red meat? And with it, he already got himself used to, he has a very discerning palate. Already he got used to the finities of life, a good wine. He's only 12 years old. So they tell the Beit Din this, listen, all day long he's in the butcher shops, in the restaurants, and in the bars. Okay, doesn't sound like the worst guy in the world yet. But the Torah says, Urgamuhu kolan cha'iro babanim. Beit Din says, this is what he's doing? They put a death penalty. Stone him to death. Ubi'artar amikirbecha. Get rid of this evil from your midst. V'chol Yisrael yishmi'u v'yira'u. Everybody will learn the lesson. And then the next pasuk, v'chiyeh be'ish het b'shvat ma'avet azarim. Those are the three subjects. The story of the Eshet Yifatoah, the lady in captivity, the story of the Ben Soder Umoreh, and then our story over here of the v'chiyeh be'ish het b'shvat ma'avet. Now, I came here to say a chiddush. The Gemara asks, whenever you see two parashiyot next to each other, there's a reason. You see, even in life, your neighbors are from Hashem. Hashem puts people next to who they have to be next to. So same thing when he wrote the Torah and he puts two subjects next to each other, there's a reason. Now if you ask the New York Times, Lavdil, why did you put this article next to that article? They'll tell you, no reason, we don't know. It's topography. That's the way it fit. There's no reason, they have no answer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only does he explain to you what the parasha means, but he tells you why we put it here, that it's the next door neighbor to this parasha. So the Gemara asks, what's the connection between the Yefat Tohar and the Ben Sorer Moreh? That's the connection. You know the Gemara answers? That if a soldier will take the Yefat Tohar, if he'll take this lady, you know what's going to end up happening? Oh, they're going to have a son that's a Ben Sorer Moreh. Which means, it's a story. It's a soap opera. This is a result of this. You do this, there's a consequence. Don't think a person will take a Yefat Tohar that is not going to be an after effect. That is not going to be a fallout. There will be. This leads to this. I ask a simple question. Why? Why should this lead to this?
Especially if the Torah allows
it. Aha! That's the question. See that? Perfect. You said it better than I did. It's permissible. I always learned when I was young, they told me, Avera goredet Avera. Well, that's, I understand. One sin leads to another sin. This, I accept. But this is not a sin. The Torah says it's legal. He didn't do anything wrong, this guy. So the Torah says, oh, see that, you talk, you fatwar. Get ready, get ready. Ben Sorer Moreh is on the way. Before we get to whether there was one or not, that's the Gemara says there was never. And we'll have to discuss that. But in the Torah is giving you a hypothetical story. The Torah is telling you, you do this, it's going to lead to this. So I'm going to explain it to you. You need a proper interpretation to this. And I'm also bothered by the Torah's strictness over here. What did the kid do so far? The kid drank some wine and he ate some meat. For this we stoned him to death? So the Torah says, oh, I'll tell you why. Because he's getting used to this lifestyle. Now he's relatively innocent. Now it's so innocuous. Now it's not so bad. But one day what's going to happen, he's going to run out of money and he's going to rob somebody for money and the person's going to resist and he's going to end up killing the guy for the money so he can go buy meat. So this guy one day is going to be a murderer. He's going to be a villain. So the Torah says, hey, listen, nip it in the bud. Kill him now when he still can go to Olam Abba maybe before he becomes a big criminal. That's the logic. Whether you accept it or not, that's the logic why they do this at this stage of it. Because the Torah says, what do you think? It's not going to stay meat and wine. This meat and wine is going to end up leading to murder one day. Therefore, we want to get him now before it grows into the weed, until it becomes a rotten apple. And I'm asking you, what's the connection between Yefat Tohar and Ben Sorer Moreh? This opens up the most important subject that we always talk about, and that is the subject of raising children, of Chinuch Yeladim. The Chinuch Yeladim is a primary mitzvah that as parents and grandparents, this is one of our overriding obligations. And in life, at the end, when everything's said and done, the only thing that we have to show for in life is what we left over in our children and grandchildren, our families. This is our legacy. There was a great rabbi called Hatan Sofer. Not Hatam, Hatan, with a nun. Atan Sofer. He asked a question once. He said the Ashkenazim, they have a custom on the night of Pesach, when they read the Haggadah, the men, they wear white robes, kittel they call it. So he asked, why is the custom when they're reading the Haggadah Shel Pesach to wear these white robes? So he said, because what do we do on the night of Pesach? The night of Pesach is V'igatah L'Bincha. It's the night that we sit and we teach our children about our tradition, about God, about divine intervention, about Emunah. The white robe reminds the father of his death, because in death also a person is buried in the white robe. And therefore they're telling the father, this is all you're going to be left with over here, what you teach your children. And therefore, do a good job. All the money and all the silverware on the table and all the nice things you have, that doesn't go with you. The lessons that you're going to teach your children, this is what a person is left with after 120. That's Hatan Sofer. And I've told you many times, training children is done in two ways. One way is not that effective. One way is very effective. The ineffective way is telling children what to do. Because if a father or mother only gives musar to a child but doesn't back up the musar with action, so that words of rebuke falls on deaf ears. The child says, my father and mother are hypocrites. They tell me to do something they themselves don't do. Almost impossible to train a child only through words. One of the most effective ways of parenting is through actions. The child will react much quicker to what he sees than to what he hears. And therefore, as I said hundreds of times, the secret of raising children is raising parents. That if parents themselves can model proper behavior, so automatically their children will be exposed to the parents' values and ideals in action. And then automatically through osmosis, the child will adopt the proper way. But if a father says to a son, do as I say, not as I do, it doesn't work. In America, they say, practice what you preach. We believe that. That if a person wants to be effective, he has to practice it. And guess what? If he practices, he doesn't even have to preach. Leave the speech. Put your speech back in your pocket. The practicing of proper values or improper values is the greatest teacher. Oh. I want to tell you a story. If a father is going to tell a son to go study Torah, and he doesn't go study himself, waste of the time. And if a mother tells a daughter to dress modestly, and she herself doesn't dress modestly, it's a waste of breath. However, that's talking about sin. There's something else that the rabbi called Ramban once said. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Kiddushim tihiyu. What does that mean? Be holy. There's a law, there's a mitzvah, you have to be holy. I want to ask you a question. I want to be holy, what do I have to do? I want to do this mitzvah, how do I be holy? It says in the Torah, Kiddushim tihiyu, you must be holy. I have an answer, go to mikveh. Oh, that's the answer, I have to go to mikveh? Learn Torah, but it says already learn Torah. So the Ramban says, you know what Kiddushin means? Kiddusha means not to take something that's permissible and become excessive with it. Kiddusha is acquired when one makes offense on the things that are permissible. Of course, if a person makes avera, he's not kadosh, that's for sure. But there's certain things that are permissible. As he gives an example, it's permissible to eat. Ah, so therefore a person come along and says, permissible to eat. So all day long they're going to eat. And then you come to them and say, hey, what are you doing? Ah, I was waiting for you to ask me. You see this over here? It's glat, bet Yosef, bisur Yisrael, and we checked it for bugs, no tola'in, and kemach yashan, and oh, halav Yisrael, and all the answers. So you're ready to write him up a summons. If you can't write him a summons, everything is legal. So all day long, eating meat, and then have a dessert, and then, with berachot, of course, shakol yam baro, borem yam zonot, v'retur ala shumhan, nothing wrong. But you see, the Ramban says you could take something that's technically permissible, but when you take it to an extreme of an excess, the Ramban calls that person a naval b'reshut Torah. He could become a legal lowlife. But legally. But you're a low person. Are you allowed to drink wine? Of course. Why not? Why shouldn't you drink wine? So now go all day long and take wine. Mevushal, not mevushal. With heksherim, with stamps and all. Make sure the goyim don't touch it. No. Very nice. So now I'll show you a person that he doesn't commit one crime. He's in Atlantic City rolling dice. Hey, you're gambling. Ah, goyim. He takes out a teshuvah from the rabbi. It says that the gambling, if it's goyim, it's not a problem. I made sure that all the people over here, it's all goyim. Ah, very good. And as he's rolling dice, he has a cigarette in his mouth. I said, hey, but then you meet the rabbi said you shouldn't smoke cigarette. E-cigarette. I found it. So he has e-cigarette in his mouth. And he's rolling dice. And he has a scotch whiskey in his hand. I said, what is this whiskey over here? Because it was placed in sherry casks. I looked, one rabbi found that it's okay, even though it was placed in the sherry cask, it's okay. So he has 20 different teshuvot in his pocket to explain why he's allowed to roll dice, why the e-cigarette is kasher, and why the scotch he's taking is fine. So you were ready to write him up a ticket. You can't write him a ticket. He didn't do anything wrong. I want to ask you a question. Without knowing anything, is this guy kadosh?
No.
He's not kadosh. For sure not. This guy is what the Ramban's talking about. He's a naval b'reshut Torah. He's a low life within the parameters of the Torah. That means it's possible that without even making a sin technically, but it's wrong because it takes away the person's holiness. I give you an example that nobody over here can relate to, but it's good to know the example anyway. No, why not derech eretz? He tells the kupiyeh, please, thank you, toda rabba. He's not a brute. Toda rabba, bevakasha, yom tov, good morning, tabal khair, everything is good. He has no problem with derech eretz, but he's a minuval. Smoking, drinking, throwing dice. And he says, well, show me where. He's not kadosh. He's a naval b'shut Torah on the things that are permissible, because the Ramban says bediu. But it's not a avon. But you want to write him now a summons. What avon did he do? He didn't want an avon. You can't get me on anything. I want to. If I double park, I know what my avon is. What is this guy do? Gambling. What's gambling? Goyim. Okay. What? Drinking. Kasher. But it's wrong. I'll give you an example that you won't understand, but it's good to know it anyway. It's permissible to shop. You're allowed to go to the mall. No, it doesn't say anywhere. Adrabah, go to the mall. You're not stealing anything. You're going into a store. You're buying tziniut clothes, or the elbows, whatever tziniut is. Everything is kadat v'kadin. Good. So now you have some people every day. That's all they do is shop. And they get up in the morning. And they go to the store. They come home. The next day, go back to Chozer b'ni'ud. All day long, back and forth, shopping. Tell them, hey, what are you doing? What am I doing? Nothing. Rabbi, nothing. Only tziniut. Only tziniut. Today I bought a watch, a necklace, a bracelet, an earring. Why does it matter? I'm not saying it's wrong. You're allowed to buy things. We all buy things. But all of a sudden, you're taking now shopping as a career. Shopping becomes now a pastime. That becomes something as a... It's good, you can do it from time to time. Now that becomes your reason for existence. Rabbi, where does it say in Shulchan Aruch that I'm not allowed to shop? It doesn't say it. But the Rabban says that sometimes when you take something that's permissible and then you take it to the excess and you don't put a fence on it, it's the end of such a story is not going to be good. Because you know the way of the Yetzer Hara, he never stops at level one. His entry is into the permissible, and then from there he drags you into the forbidden. In English we call that a slippery slope. So a person thinks, no, I'm just going to stand at the top of the mountain. You slide, what do you think? It's slippery. And all of a sudden he's sliding and sliding. So what happened? Yeah, because all day long eating, and all day long drinking, and all day long shopping. And somebody comes to the rabbi and says, you forgive me for this example? It's a gross example, but to show you. According to Shulchan Aruch, halakha, it's permissible to pick a nose? It's a disgusting example. No, it doesn't say anyone. So now sit all day long and pick your nose. Finish. Where does it say it's forbidden? It doesn't say it's forbidden, but you're in Nevad, Bashut HaTorah. You could do something permissible, but you're a low life. And there's many examples of this.
Everything by limiting.
Bediuk. Everything has to be in measure. And Rambam talks about moderation. Moderation is not on something that's forbidden. Moderation is on the things that are permissible. Of course, this is one of the telltale signs of our generation. I'm talking about religious people now. Where today, we're only concerned if it's kosher. If it's kosher, the way I go crazy with it. That's it. Buy it, eat it, go all night long. Every cuisine in the world has to be kosher. Mexican, Indian, Pakistani, Persian, all kosher. This is an indulgence. On Pesach, our grandparents used to eat peanuts. Today, they showed me kosher bagels, Lichbot Pesach, in honor of Pesach. It's not a bagel, it's potato, but it looks like a bagel, and noodles, and calzones, on Pesach. What happened over here? So you see the excesses of things that are permissible. All the foods that are available, and all the indulgences, all the kosher wines that are available today, all the different kosher trips that they have today, where you can go to the ends of the world, and there's separate swimming, and there's daf yomi, and there's, not one avon. Now watch what happened. I'm going to show you a classic example of what happens when parents make a mistake in this, and it's going to come out in their children. Father went to the war. He was a Sadiq. He's fighting in the Jewish army. What happened in the war? He saw a girl. He saw a Goya. He couldn't control himself. The Yetzer Hara got the best of him. He asked the rabbi. The rabbi says, listen, if you cannot control yourself, listen, according to the law, it's permissible. Good. He comes home into his house with the goya. Who sees him when he comes in? His son. He said, dad, who's this over here? This is Yolanda. Yolanda? What is Yolanda? Goya. What do you mean goya? What are you talking about? Listen, I saw her in the war, and I took her. You converted her yet? No. You ready to bring in the house? Oh, so what ends up happening? The father is teaching the son, it's mutar. It's permissible. So you know what the son says? Ah, that's the main thing. As long as it's permissible, you don't have to put any fences, the main thing is it's permissible. So you know what the kid starts to do when he's young? He's eating meat. What type of meat do you think he's eating? Blat kosher, Bet Yosef, with Shakon Yad Baro, with a kippah on his head, with Divrei Torah LaShulchan. Because he learned that from his father. His father told him legal heterim. And then he starts to drink kosher wine. The Ben Soreru More starts the slippery slope because already he saw it in his father. That nature of the father saying, you can indulge as long as it's permissible, already brought this to the Ben Soreru More. I have a sefer over here called Shemin Rosh. Listen to what he says on this. He says a big derash on this. The father was a Naval B'Reshut HaTorah. And guess what happened? He made his son also a Naval B'Reshut HaTorah. All day long with e-cigarettes, in the restaurants, drinking wine. And you tell the kid, hey, sonny boy, what are you doing? Ah, OU has OU. Look, the wine is the stamp of the Badatz, Bedin Tzedek. Everything is good. I made my berachot. I said the Torah, but look at you, you're a glutton. You're a guzzler. Who taught you this? What? My father came home with a Goya one day and said, also the Torah is permissible. We go it as long as it's permissible. He quotes a pasuk in Kohelet. Monday nights we have a Kohelet class. He quotes the Kohelet pasuk. We didn't get to this pasuk yet. Listen to a pasuk. It's in Perek Yud Aleph. Semach bachur biyaldutecha. Somebody's talking to somebody over here. I don't know who's talking to who yet. But the pasuk says, Semach bachur, you young boy, bachur, young boy, enjoy yourself. Semach bachur biyaldutecha. When you're young, enjoy yourself. V'yiti bechal b'cha. Go after your heart. V'yime bacharutecha, when you get a little older. V'halach b'darkedi b'cha. Go after where your heart takes you. And after where your eyes take you. Somebody's persuading a young boy, go enjoy yourself. Go have a good time. I continue the pasuk. Veda, ki al kol ele yevi'acha Elohim l'mishpat. You have to know that everything you do, you're going to be held liable in judgment. God's going to hold you responsible for. So the Gemara says, hold it. The pasuk in the beginning, tells the kid, do it, enjoy it, go after your heart, go after your pleasures, go after your eyes. And then at the end of the pasuk, it says, and if you do it, you're going to be held responsible. So it sounds like two different people are talking over here. So the Gemara says, the beginning of the pasuk, who's talking? The Yetzer Hara. And at the end of the pasuk, who's talking? Yetzer Tov. In the beginning of the pasuk, the Yetzer Hara tells the person, go, don't worry about it, enjoy yourself. The Yetzer doesn't mention punishment. Yetzer doesn't mention consequence. Yetzer doesn't mention Gehinnom. Yetzer doesn't mention any outcome. All the Yetzer says, go yourself and have a good time and don't worry about anything. And after the Yetzer finishes his speech, the Yetzer talks, okay, you finished now? Now my chance to tell the guy something in the other ear? Listen, buddy, if you do what he just told you to do, you're going to be held responsible in judgment. So he hears two different speeches. Ad kan devrei yetzer hara. Mikan ve'ilach devrei yetzer tov. But that's the pasuk. So the rabbi called Shemin Rosh, he says, what type of sin does the yetzer hara tell the person to do? If he's going to tell him to do a blatant sin, he's not going to listen to him. Go worship Avodah Zarah. Go eat a ham sandwich. Ma'as b'shalom on a ham sandwich. He can never entice a religious Jew on these majors and go wear a suit that has shafness. Jump in the lake, I'm not wearing shafness. So you know what he has to do? He has to come and entice the person on things that are permissible. Get the person used to indulging on permissible things. And once he gets used to the excesses of life and he abuses something that's permissible, eventually he'll slide into foul territory. Eventually he'll slide into the wrong areas. Yetzirah doesn't have to present the sin. He could just present addictive behavior on things that are permissible. Eat kasher, drink kasher, shop, as long as all these type of things. travel as much as you, but everything has to be kasher. Now watch. He writes over here, one of the things he tells him is, V'halach bedarke libecha. Go after your heart. Libecha. Libecha, the way you spell it, is lamed bet chaf sofit. Anybody know the numerical value of this word? Lamed bet chaf sofit? Right. You're not going to answer right. Because chaf sofit is not 20. Let me teach you gematria today. Our letters go from Aleph to Taf. And then we have five letters that are Sofit. Chav Sofit, Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Pe Sofit, Tzadi Sofit. The way you remember that is Kamenapetz. Kamenapetz. The first of the Sofit letters is a Chav. No, Taf is 400. So the first Sofit letter is a Chav Sofit. Chav Sofit in Gematria equals 500. Now you learned something today. So if you take the word libecha, lamed bet is 32, and chav sofit is 500. Libecha equals 532. I know that number doesn't mean anything to you. 532, okay, 532. I accept. How many mitzvot do we have in the Torah? 613. You know what the 532nd mitzvah is? The mitzvah of Yifat Toar. The Yetzer Hara tells the person, go after libecha, go after the legal desires, go after the mitzvot, like the 532nd, where the father comes home with a goya, and it's legal. That's where the Yetzer Hara fights the person. On libecha, on mitzvot that are technically legal, but the Yetzer Hara wants you to abuse it, the Yetzer Hara wants you to take advantage. And then what ends up happening? He falls. Oh. That's what happens in our parasha. If you look at the beginning, by the way, when it says, Kit etzela milchama, you're going to go out to war. What does Rashi say? What type of war are we talking about? Milchemet ha-reshut. The big war against the Yetzer Hara is not on the things that are forbidden. On the things that are permissible, because what the father did in this case was permissible. But look, he destroyed his house. He started to, you know what he should have done? He should have saw this girl and said, even though it's permissible, what kind of message am I giving my kids? They're going to see me in this behavior over here. What kind of message am I going to give to my family? You know what? Let me close my eyes. Let me put a fence up. Let me protect myself. Let me. Instead, what did he do? He let himself go. And he's comforted that it's mutar. But guess what? The son learned if it's mutar, it's okay. He became addicted to kosher wine and kosher meat. And eventually what ends up happening, the Torah tells us, kill him now. Because he's on a bad path from a young age. Eventually he's going to become even worse. It's going to lead him to murder. That means a person could start just excess eating and drinking and shopping and traveling and doing all things, and it will lead to the biggest avirot. Now you asked the question, somebody mentioned it, but Rabbi, doesn't the Talmud say it never happened, this story? There was never a Ben Soler and Murer, so you can sleep good tonight. It never happened actually. Not even one. There was never actually a Ben Soler and Murer that this happened to, that the father took up the Bedin and they stoned him. It's a nice story, but it never happened. There's a great rabbi called Hatam Sofer. You know what Hatam Sofer said? Hatam Sofer said, why didn't it ever happen? Why? If the Torah tells us a story, it should happen. Why? The Gemara says, not only it'll never happen, there's too many details in the story for it to happen. A lot of things have to be done where it's almost impossible to fulfill all the conditions. Atam Sofer says, why? This is the brilliant answer Atam Sofer said. Imagine you took a newspaper tomorrow, and you read in the newspaper, parents took their 12-year-old son to the rabbis in Bnei Berak with the long beards, and told the rabbis, he drinks a lot of wine, he eats a lot of meat, he has very addictive behavior, and the rabbis took the kid and they stoned him to death. And when they asked the rabbis, what are you doing? So, if we don't nip it in the bud now, one day this kid's going to be a murderer. What would you say to such a thing? You would say, were they crazy? Were they crazy? What kind of crazy rabbis? What kind of radical? Who said it's going to happen? Who said he's going to come to be a murderer? What kind of extremists are these people over here? You know what would happen to people that would read such a law? They would make fun of it. If this ever happened in reality, the people would question the Torah. They would question the wisdom of the Torah. For this, they're killing a kid. Who said he would ever come to such a thing? Who said he would ever do such a thing? What, just because he's a youngster? He'll grow up, he'll change. So you know what Atam Sofer says? We want to prove it. So the Torah says it'll never happen. You know why? So you'll see with your own eyes that when a child is young and doesn't get the right chinuch, he's going to become a criminal when he gets older. And then when you see it with your own eyes, then you're going to say, wow, the Torah was right. Wow, we look at this. And now you learn the lesson of I have to train your children when they're young. And you shouldn't say, ah, they're only kids, what's the difference? It's permissible, let them play on the computer 20 hours a day, let them eat, let them go, da, da, da. If we would kill the Ben Sarurim, whatever, you'd never see it happen. You'd never see the digression. Because you're always killing it before the weed grew. Torah says, you know what, it'll never happen. Let the weed grow, let everybody see what happens, and now the people are going to say, oh, but I was right. By not killing the Ben Sorer and Morer, it proves the wisdom of the Torah. So guess what? There were many Ben Sorer and Morers in history. Many rebellious children. It's just that we can't kill them because all the details weren't met. I'll give you an example of a classic one. Very good. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you now. David HaMelech went to war. And you know who he saw in the war? Eshet Yifat Tor. Now obviously, David HaMelech is on a different level. It's not the guy I was telling you before. And you know what he did with the Yifat Tor? He took her. Torah doesn't show any favoritism. You know who came from that? Eshet Yifat Tor? Avshalom. You know who Avshalom was? Ben Sorer Umoreh. Do you have any more rebellious son than Avshalom? He wanted to kill his father. He took his father's concubines. He waged war against the whole family. The Ben Sorer HaMoreh. Of course, David didn't take him to the Beit Din and stone him to death because the details weren't there for it to happen, but he was a Ben Sorer HaMoreh. Potentially, he's a Ben Sorer HaMoreh. You know what ended up happening to Avshalom? How did he get killed? He was riding on a horse once. He had long hair. And the hair got stuck in the tree. And also, he hung. And everybody comes along and says, you see this? The Torah's right. Because when he was young, he didn't get the proper chinuch. The Torah tells us that he was neglected in chinuch for whatever reason. David never told Avshalom that he's doing wrong. David never stopped him. The Milchemet HaReshut. And from Milchemet HaReshut led to terrible, terrible things. And everybody at the end, when they see Avshalom's demise, they come along and say, the Torah's right. If you don't educate your children when they're young, even not teaching the children right from wrong, teaching them right from right, that even in the things that are right, we have to limit them. Even the things that are permissible, we have to limit them. Permissible to eat candy. But so let the kids eat candy all day long. As normal parents, we never do that. Soda is permissible. So let the kids drink soda all day long. There has to be boundaries. Oh. So right after the Torah tells us about the story of Ben Sorer HaMoreh, right at the end, it tells us a lesson, by the way. It says, "Ubi'arta hara mikirbecha," you will get rid of the evil in your midst. V'chol Yisrael yishmi'u v'yira'u, and everybody will learn the lesson. I once interpreted the pasuk like this. "Ubi'arta hara mikirbecha." First, you have to get rid of the evil inside of you. And if you get rid of the evil inside of you, then v'chol Yisrael yishmeu v'yirau. Then you can teach others. If you want others to hear what you're saying, first you have to fix yourself. But this father over here didn't rebuke himself. He went after his permissible desires, and his kid followed the same thing. He did it with a goya, he did it with kosher meat. What's the difference? You know what the next pasuk says? V'chi yeh be'ish het mishpat mavet. One day in history there's going to be an ish, a hashuv person. The son of David, hashuv. And he's going to be guilty of the death penalty because he himself is a ben soner morer. But we can't stone him because it never happened. But guess what? V'humat. God has his way of settling the score that the ben soner morer, after he reaches his level of degeneracy, God will kill him. And you know how Avshalom dies? V'talita oto al etz. And he will get hung on the tree. Exactly like Avshalom got hung by this. So you see, these three stories are connected to each other. The story of the Yefatoa, the story of the Ben Soner Moreh, and then the Torah gives us an example. Not of a real Ben Soner Moreh, but a potential. If that's the case, unfortunately, today in our generation, there are many potential Ben Soner Moreh running around. And unfortunately, they learn from their parents. Because their parents follow indulgent lifestyle. And always going out, and always gallivanting, and always going, and everything they do with a kippah, and sisit, and make sure it's kasher. But the kids see this lifestyle, and they follow it as well. And eventually, what happens from something that's permissible, it leads to something that's asur. I will conclude with a hadush that I saw from a great rabbi called the Scalia Rebbe. I hope I can explain this to you. The Gemara says, if a person makes confession on a sin, amitvadeh, ve'eno oseh teshuvah, he confesses, but he doesn't stop doing the sin, harezeh ketovel v'sheretz biyado. It's like he goes to the mikveh holding a sheretz. A sheretz is something that's tameh, that's impure. When you go to the mikveh, you have to drop the sheretz first. If you're holding the sheretz, you're going to the mikveh, doesn't help. So if a person says, I confess my sin, and he's still doing the sin. So what's the confession? He's going to the mikveh with the sheretz. That's the Gemara says. So the rabbi asked, what does it give the example that he goes to the mikveh holding a sheretz? The sheretz be a rodent in his hand. So he said like this. The Gemara in Berachot says the following language. Poretz geder yeshechenu nahash. If a person breaks fences, he will get bitten by the snake. What does this mean? It's not talking about a person that makes sins. Poretz geder. What does poretz geder mean? There's a mitzvah. There's things that are permissible. But he makes fences. Not everything that's allowed, you have to go now to the extreme. He makes fences. Not to eat so much. Not to drink so much. Not to shop so much. Not to do so much. Not to play so much. Everything in moderation. And the Torah says, poretz geder. Yishchenu na'ash. He'll get bitten by a snake. What's the analogy to that? When a person breaks a fence, he says, what is it? It's nothing. A snake also, a person gets bitten by a snake. What happens? The snake bites him in his toe. He feels a little, a sting. He's, ooh. He looks at things, he's a little bite mark. Nothing. Big deal. What ends up happening? The venom starts to move in the body. Before you know it, from a little sting on the foot, his whole body is taken over. The Torah is telling you, poretz geder. It's a sting of a snake. When you break fences, and therefore you don't let yourself have limitations on things that are permissible even. The Torah. What do you think? From being addicted to meat and wine, you'll come to murder, God forbid. That's the Ben Soner Moreh. So the Scalia Rebbe said, if you have a paper, you could write it down. Uporetz. The last letter of the word poretz is a tzaddi. Geder is a resh, the last letter. Yishchenu is a vav. Nahash is a shin. The last letters of uporetz, geder, yishchenu, nahash, spells the word vesheretz. That's what the Gemara means. Hamitvadeh, the guy makes teshuvah on all the sins, but vesheretz biyado. He doesn't make teshuvah on the things that are permissible. He doesn't make teshuvah by making fences on things that are technically allowed. He's a zolel v'sove, he's a guzzler and a glutton. Uporetz geder yishchenu nahash v'sheretz biyado, that he doesn't give up. He thinks if it's permissible, go to the extreme. That's where he makes his mistake. And that's the mistake of this father that took home the Ishik Yifat Tor. You know what he should have done? He should have left her in the field. But by bringing her home, he sent a very strong message to his kids. That it's okay. We see it, it's mutar. And the kid followed his father. Not what his father said, what his father did. And look what ended up happening. His house became destroyed. This is the story of Avshalom. Ki yebe ish het mishpat mavet. When you see, there'll be a man in history that'll be guilty of this punishment. Ve'umat, God killed him. Ve'talita oto aleitz. And then everybody will learn a lesson. You know what the lesson is? Teach your children when they're young. Give them the proper chinuch, chanuch lanar al pi darko. Because if we're lax in giving them an education when they're young in all areas of life, especially b'milchemet harishut, hakatuv medaber, in the areas that are permissible, that they should know limitations, they should know there's certain guidelines, there's certain parameters. Only then can we guarantee gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimena, that when they become old, that they'll be able to follow the ways they were taught by their parents. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.